Good.
That can do it.
I was going to say, I've got so many more comments still.
I just had a funny one. Got some more questions, mate? Hit us up.
Yeah, I got a funny one from Kieran. What else do we have? Are we jumping straight back into it?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, hit us with the big one.
So we just finished the Patrol versus Tritons. The next one I got is from Cameron. Preference between a swag and a rooftop tent. I'm going to say that one's for solo or couple touring.
Yeah, I'd go with a swag purely because I tend to find myself in really precarious shit situations and I don't want to be top heavy.
That's pretty fair. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, so if you just drive around on dirt roads and you know, maybe some soft roading, then yeah, rooftop tent all the way. But if you want to go drive some gnarly tracks, you don't want that. I don't know, what do they weigh, 50, 80 kilos? That could be the difference between you tipping the car over or not, because you've got your bed on top of your roof.
Yeah, whenever it comes to roof weight, well, you've got a roof rack and rail system, you're probably looking at about 50 kilos minimum for that if it's made out of aluminium. Yep, you're lucky, you can obviously bring that cost down. Rooftop tent, minimum 80 kilos. You've got a roof, you've got an awning on that, and maybe even a few other things as well too, like a solar panel, plus all your wiring as well too. Most roofs are only rated for 100 kilos as well too. They can handle it sometimes, but that's a lot of sway weight, especially when you come around corners or on bad angles.
Yeah, that weight up there when you're, you know, and it could be something as simple as there's a tree across the track, so you've got to just sneak a little bit beside it, and that puts two of your wheels just down the bank a little bit, and you just creep around, trying to creep around that tree. And that extra weight on your roof is the difference between the car tipping over and going down the cliff, or you driving around the tree and continuing on like nothing ever happened.
Yep. I had a rooftop tent on the Hilux on a canopy. Went up Billy Goats. I think it was about 700 kilos for the whole canopy. The Hilux is pretty light, and that was just that little bit too much. Plus the weight up top as well too. It was, I usually walk up that track. I went up there and that was pretty struggling. No rooftop tent, I'm going to lose some weight.
I saw one today. It was a tradies rack. So your standard roof rack with, what have they got, like 100 mil side to stop your ladders and stuff falling off. And old mate had the tent mounted to the top of the sides. So this tent was, you know, 500, 600, maybe even 700 mil above the roof of the car. It just, I saw it, and it, to me, it looked like it was going to tip over in the car park.
No. Buy a Troopy with a roof chop on it. It's got an alley cab or something inside it if you want to do that kind of stuff. Plus, you're going to have a better time as well too.
But then, it comes down to what you want to do, mate. If you're not going extreme off-roading, a rooftop tent is luxurious shit to sleep in. They're set up quick as fuck. You're off the ground. You don't have snakes crawling in your bed and all that sort of stuff. But have you ever tried to get out of one after you've had a couple of frothies?
Yes. And that's another reason why I don't have a rooftop tent.
It's a long way to fall when you miss the first step of the ladder trying to climb out.
I feel like I'm the only one that's going to say yes to the rooftop tent.
That's because you drive a cruiser and you wouldn't get to where we're going anyway.
What are you laughing about, Tom? You got an 80 series too.
But I'd never put anything on my roof because I know what weight does to cruisers, especially up there.
Now, the reason I would take one is because most of the places that I go, if I'm going to go super off-road, hardcore sort of stuff, I'd learn to know my car's limits, and I just wouldn't do that stuff until I go out there maybe for a day trip and I just don't have the whole canopy, whole roof rack set up on, and then I'll minimize my weight a lot more so that way I can more so use it like a scout vehicle and scope out more areas that I'd want to come back to and have another shot at if I didn't have all that weight on the roof.
Do you know what I do dig and I do rate? Is the rooftop tent on a dual cab that's down in the tray below the roof line. To me, that's sensible. That's clever. You can still store shit underneath it, and then you don't have the weight up top like you would with it on top of a canopy or on top of the roof of the car.
Yep, low profile tub racks, basically. Yeah.
To me, it's all about keeping the weight down low. Yeah.
Another bad one with the
Sorry, Molly, you go.
Oh, I was going to say another bad one about the rooftop tent. The only other thing I think of is, let's say you're doing a lot of driving in between your campsites. Every day, you're going to have to pack up the camper thing, and you might be doing let's say you're going to Rainbow Beach and you're doing day trips out to Rainbow Beach, and then you're doing a day trip over to near the Fraser Coast and stuff like that. Every day, you're going to have to pack up that rooftop tent, and you're going to be driving around with it on the roof rather than just having the swag. So if I was doing day trips, I'd be taking the swag. But if I was going for a long distance tour, like what I'm going to be hopefully doing by the end of this year, I'm probably going to try and look for a cheaper rooftop tent.
Yeah, definitely. And the rooftop tent is a lot easier to pack up. You fold it up, shut the lid, you get in the car and go. Whereas, rolling the swag up, you get up in the morning, it's a bit wet underneath and all that sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Especially with the missus that doesn't like to help roll up the swag because it's all got water on it. She doesn't want to get water and dirty. And but, oh, well, we deal with it.
Well, I'm actually going to say for this one, I'm quite the opposite as well too, especially if it's a really, really long trip. I'm definitely going to be in a swag most of the time. Just point example, the 3 weeks I did away, South Australia, Dad and I did that in swags the whole time. There was one times where I think we stayed at his mate's house on the way and back and families as well too. And because I had a bed with me, I was inside, just rolled it out in their living room floor, ready to go. It was such a versatile piece of equipment. We had it everywhere. We just had an awning that we had set up or a fly on a bit of rope. That basically made the cover sorted. I'm a swag man when it comes for those long trips. Although I've got a rooftop tent that when the missus and I go away, that's what we take.
That's it. The creature comforts, mate.
Got to. Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly.
100%. Any more questions from you guys or?
No, I got nothing, mate. I only had the ute shop one.
What was the funny question that Kieran asked you?
All right, this one's going to get you guys. This is going to get you thinking, all right? This one's going to get you thinking. Where is it? It is this one right here. All right, you ready? Do penguins have kneecaps? Like, have knees?
No.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. I remember I Googled it.
They do, but they're fused together. I'm pretty sure that's the answer. Like, the bone itself is like, it's like fused together, right?
But then would it be a knee?
I'm
pretty sure I Googled it years ago. I can't remember what it is, but I want to hear this debate. This is going to be a good one.
Well, you can still have a knee, even if it's fused together. There's evidence of a joint there somewhere through the evolutionary line. That's why you can point to it and say that's a knee, but just because it doesn't mean it can move back and forth, it means it's not a knee, right?
It doesn't bend.
Wouldn't it have to bend to be able to be a knee, or else it'd just be a long leg?
Well, if there's evidence of a joint there, even though the joint is fused, it's still a knee, though. Just because it can't move doesn't mean it's not a knee. Right? I'm confused here.
I don't know.
I'm going to agree to disagree, and that's totally off topic. Let's move on to the next one.
What about you, Mully? I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer.
I think you might have to Google it, mate. But I'm going to say they do, but just off of pure engagement of disagreement, I want to say no.
I just want to watch the world burn.
I want to see babies cry and watch the world burn.
I've got a few more questions. I'll just wonder what I got. Oh, here we go. Right in the feels, this one. This one's from Jamie. Favorite place you've been four wheel driving? Not just your favorite place, but your favorite place you've ever been.
Tasmania.
Ooh, care to elaborate?
I can't. If you don't know, you don't know. There's probably people that are locals to Tassie that just, they know how good they got it. It's the same as you and I having the high country as our backyard. But Tassie's just, it's next level, mate. You're on the beach at 1 minute and then you're up the top of a mountain the next. Like, it is so thick. So just, it is wet. It is swampy. It is steep. It is everything you want, mate. I done a 2 week trip to Tassie. We done a lap. We went round clockwise, I believe, and we covered most of what we were supposed to. And then it wasn't until we were on the boat ride home that we realised how much of it we missed. And that was just before all the COVID bullshit. And we had a trip planned for the next year. It then got cancelled due to COVID, and the next one just hasn't been put back together yet. So if you want in on a Tassie trip, mate, hit me up. Let's organise it.
Ooh, I could actually, yeah. Ooh, that makes me a little bit excited as well, too. Which car do I have to bring? It's got to be the Cruiser, right?
So, hang on. So we were leaving, I believe it was Bruny Island, right down the bottom. And we were trying to catch the first ferry out so that we could get to our next destination. Away we go. Someone slept in. We run a little bit late. And I may or may not have been going a little bit too quick through town. And then we lined up the ferry. We missed the boat. And we're sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, a police officer comes in. And one of the boys gets on the radio and goes, "Oh, there's a fucking copper walking down the line." So I looked in the mirror. I'm like, "Oh, fuck." And this, I was at the front of the queue. And this copper, he's walked past everyone. He's just said hello to him as he's walked past everyone. I'm in a, technically a comp truck. It's still road registered, 37-inch tyres. And he walks down the end of the line and he was holding a tyre iron in his hand. He comes up to the car and he goes, "How are you today, mate?" And I said, yeah, not bad, officer, yourself. He goes, "You're going a bit quick through town there, weren't you?" And I was like, "Oh, I sort of didn't realise, you know," explained, "we're trying to catch the boat and get out of here." And he goes, "You're leaving, are you?" I said, yeah, we're leaving. He holds the tyre iron up. He goes, "Is this yours?" I said, no, I don't think. He goes, "Oh, I found it on the road back there." Puts his hand in the car, taps him on the shoulder, and he says, "Enjoy the rest of your trip." And he turns around, he walked back up the line of cars, got back in his car and took off.
Now, that's a good copper.
Yeah. He was just trying to return a tyre iron.
That's good. I like that. Story with a happy ending. Like that.
Yeah, more coppers like that would be nice.
Yeah, story with a happy ending then, as well, too. So, was so Tassie for you?
I believe it maybe Climby's track or maybe Balfour's, one or the other. We were on our way in, and it was a 100 series come out or a 105 series come out with four fully grown adults in it. As we were on our way in, we were letting our tyres down, and these blokes, they stopped and they had a chat. You know, asked us where we're going, what we're doing. And it turns out the four of these blokes were off-duty police officers. And we told them where we planned on going. And they said to us, "No, well, you don't want to go that down here and along that way. That's the tourist way. That's where all the tourists go. You boys look like you're set up to go this way." And they gave us some different directions and sent us into the shit. We spent the next probably 6 hours dragging ourselves through, you know, waist-deep sludge. We had the time of our life. And if it wasn't for meeting them blokes, we would have just followed the designated tourist route and thought we'd done what was supposed to be. But those boys, they pointed us in the right direction.
Yeah. Climbies is that one with the waterfall, is it?
Yeah, we came up Climbies, which makes me think it might have been Balfour's that we met these boys on as we were heading in, because it was just wet bog hole after wet bog hole after wet bog hole. And this is the only track I've seen that had a sign at the front of it that said, must be attempted in convoy, so do not attempt solo. Full recovery gear needed, experienced drivers. So I've actually got a photo of the sign. It's a little sign at the front of the track that pretty much says, be ready for what you're getting yourself into.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is definitely. So, answer your question, Tassie. That's my favorite.
Sounds like a bloody good trip.
Marley, favorite.
You boys, where's your favorite? Tell me.
I really want to say Fraser, but I feel like a lot of people would say that. So I do love Fraser, but what I'm going to say is just over the water of that is a place called Woodgate. If you guys know where that is at all, it's just past Hervey Bay. It's about a 40-minute drive past Hervey Bay. It reminds me a lot of the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast. Like, that's what the water edge looks like. But it's surrounded by all old folks. Like, there's no one there under the age of 70. So it's all old people there. I went up there to go see my grandparents. And driving along the beach there, there's no one there either. And you can go up and down the beach, cut laps as many times as you want. Not doing stupid stuff, but like just going up and down the beach, and there's just not a soul in sight. Maybe the one in a while, old bloke fishing on the side, trying to catch a fish, but like it was just the most peaceful serenity driving you'll ever do. It was just incredible. And they reckon they get no storm events over there because it all hits Fraser and then just splits around them. So it's always good weather up there. And it was just incredible the time that I spent up there. I spent about 3 weeks up there because my car broke down.
But that's cruising.
Yeah, it was awesome. No, that was in the Colorado.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I got up there, drove around, and then my day I was supposed to leave, my alternator shit itself and couldn't charge the battery to get home. So I had to wait for the Bundaberg super cheap auto to get one in stock, which took a week, and then I had to install it in my grandpa's shed. Luckily, he's a ex-military mechanic and stuff like that, so he was able to help me out with that, and I was on my way back, and then I got about halfway home and I had to call up the tow truck because it shit itself again. So that was an expensive trip, but yeah.
You've reminded me of another joint just saying that, the age of the people on that island. In between Robe and Beachport, there's a little town called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, it's called Nora Karina or Nora Karaya, something like that. But it's actually, so if you drive up the beach from Robe, you have to get off the beach. You can't drive straight through. You have to get off and come back in through this town. And it's like it's a nudist colony or something like that. It's just old people that don't care at all. And every time, we used to do a yearly trip up there on dirt bikes, and every time without fail, there would be some old bloke or an old couple out on the beach just absolutely butt naked, man. And you're hooking past and just thinking, what the hell are these two doing? Just standing there in all their glory, not a care in the world, mate.
Oh, that's absolutely feral. Hang on, let me grab my pen and paper. Where's that?
No. Yeah. We'll go there next week.
Babe, I've got a new place we're going.
good tiny little town, man, with beautiful beaches and just places, man. That's why we got four wheel drives, dude, to get to these places and see these things.
100%. What about you, Tom? Where's your favourite place?
My favourite place for four wheel driving, hone it in on the high country, easy. It's popular. Blue Rag Range is my favourite, just to be that one step further that's just up in the clouds. And it just, everything else just disappears. You're so up high. Went up there about 6 or 8 months ago. And I managed to drive up there before the sunrise as well, to watch the sunrise come up over the mountains. And there was that low level of cloud just hiding everything. And there were, I could only see like two peaks throughout the whole area where I was looking all around in 360. It was this other peak that was another pretty high mountain, and Hotham. They were the only two peaks that I could see as the sun was coming up. Just gorgeous. It was, and yeah, it was the heavens. The heavens.
Say that, Tom. I can picture it because I've been there. But for Marley to be able to see in his mind what you're talking about, I don't reckon he would be able to fathom of just how much nothingness there is. When you're at the top of them mountains, all you see is more mountains. There's no cities, there's no oceans, there's nothing but mountains and trees.
Sounds incredible. I think I've seen that video that you posted about it, Tom, but just to be able to see it in person would be a completely different sort of thing.
If you're down here, mate, I would love to take you close up there. I don't know if we'll be able to get through, but yeah, I would love to take you up there. Absolutely.
Definitely.
100%.
We can tee it up, mate. If Marley's down here, we can tee it up.
Yep. We'll make that happen.
That'd be a hectic day of recoveries in the snow. Maybe a good YouTube video. Stuck for 7 hours, moved 200 meters.
Yep. Yeah, I've had a few of them. Yep.
What's all another right. comment we got? Here's one. Thoughts on the 4J J motor series, engine series?
Yeah, I'd put one in a patrol.
Yep, I'd put one in my Land Cruiser.
I'd put one in the Cruiser as well.
Isuzu make a good motor. It is what it is, yeah.
Yep.
They're solid, reliable. They're good motors, yeah.
Just a really good, solid truck motor. Lasts forever.
And you know what's funny? So if I was to say to you, hey, man, I want to come forward driving, I've got a Holden Jackaroo, would you take me seriously?
Oh, I'd give you a weird look, but I've seen a Jackaroo get up some pretty crazy places.
The Holden Jackaroos were just a Holden badged Isuzu.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they were very, very capable, very reliable vehicles. But because it was a Holden Jackaroo, people just laugh at you. In a Holden Jackaroo, you knobhead, you're not getting up there. But and I believe the diesel Jackaroos probably would have had a 4JJ, if not the earlier version of it.
Yep.
But no, yeah,
I'm pretty sure they did.
I'll rate the 4JJ for sure. If I could get my hands on one cheap, I would stick one in a patrol for sure.
How's this for a story about a 4J? So in the Colorado, I had the 4J, and I got it off of some dude who used to use it as a bush basher before he used to use it for his business, and then he used it as a bush basher, and he had it since 20,000 Ks and stuff like that, almost brand new, and bought it off of him, and I got it about 170,000 Ks. I did another 10,000 Ks on it, and then went to do a service on it, and I pulled the oil out of it, and the oil came out like gelatin.
Yeah, it hadn't been serviced forever.
I rang up I contacted the dude, and I said, I thought you said this had the last service done at like 5,000 Ks before I bought it, mate. He's like, no, I just said that's that way you'd want to buy it. I actually haven't serviced it in like 50, 60, 70,000 Ks.
Yep.
And this thing had been... It would run on an oily rag, except for... I'd say that, but then as soon as I did that service on it, all the stuff just started breaking loose on it, and that alternator blew, stuff like that. But that 4J went so good. If I could get... Same thing, if I could get my hands on one, I'd probably put it into the Cruiser or something like that. It'd be a cool little engine swap that would go good on YouTube and stuff like that. Because you don't see very many 4Js in 80 series or Cruisers. You'd more so see them in patrols.
Yep, same as the Beamer. Is it M57s or whatever they are?
Yep.
They're a solid setup as well.
Yep. My dream is to chop the 80 and put something like a 4J in it, and then just turn it into this tough tough tour. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. I was literally looking at 4Js just this afternoon. Just 4J rec motors and seeing if I could find a cheap one. I've always fallen into those rabbit holes and looking for cheap engines on Marketplace. And because my dad's got an engine stand, I'll borrow that off of him for a couple of months and then build it in the garage until the engine in the 80 series blows up and just chuck whatever I got in that.
Yep. I go shopping for anything and everything at any time of day. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like the castle when they're flicking through the trading post. You know, what's he asking for it? Oh, that's a bargain. You know, tell him he's dreaming sort of thing. Anything comes up at a good price. And that's why I got that V8 Hilux. It was there. It was cheap. I didn't need it, but fuck me, I'm not letting that pass me up. Now I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
We'll have some fun with it. Absolutely.
I'm actually building it and raffling it off is what I'm thinking about now.
That'd be a cool little giveaway.
Something different, man. Ain't nobody else got one.
I'll be buying a lot of tickets in that raffle. Well, what is it?
If you buy all the entries, you're guaranteed to win it.
That's it.
That's a fair call.
What else we got? We got any more questions, or are we going to move on here?
You got any more questions, Tom?
I think I'm out because the last question was that I was going to ask, but we pretty much answered it, was have you ever done Tassie trip? So, and Andy answered that one, and it's an obvious answer from me and Marley. So it's definitely on the cards, but yeah.
It's an I wish we could. I wish we had.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to make it happen for sure. And look, if there's any serious followers out there that really want to come and join us and do shit, I'm more than happy to do some high country trips, do some local stuff around the Bunyip, Neerham areas. And, you want to organise a Tassie trip, by all means. You buy yourself a ticket, you get on the boat at this date, and we'll take you along.
100%. Yeah. That sounds sick.
That actually does sound pretty cool.
One comment from Arlo Photography, you. That's one of the mates from up here in Brisbane. We've also got Callum just saying, I'm sweating through my shirt. Okay. And
that was from the start of one of our other videos. I watched it the other day. I was going back through our previous videos. And at the start, you were nowhere to be seen. And Tom asked, where are you? And you said, I've just got to change my shirt. I've just sweated through this one.
Oh, yeah.
So he must be watching the last shirt.
Queensland life. Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've literally got a fan sitting next to me at the moment. And I've got one more comment from Jojo Barwick. I'll go check it out. Yeah, he's an awesome bloke. I love watching his builds. His build of that patrol that he's doing. I got no questions, but maybe a new school versus old school thoughts.
Look, in my mind, old school wins hands down because sometimes computer just says no. And when computer says no, you're fucked.
Limp mode or worse. Kill me now. Yeah, old stuff is always better.
Old school, yes, it's a little bit rougher. Maybe your AC doesn't work. Maybe you don't even have AC. You got wind-up windows. There's none of this electric shit. But old school is getting you home. New school, you put a new school car in water and fucking, sorry, mate, you're getting a tow truck out of there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So maybe we can elaborate on that.
Jojo, I would say it is Jojo Berwick, and only because I used to live in a town called Berwick. It was spelled the same as his last name.
Even my Hilux, that's a 2003, and that's even got a computer system in it that has kill switches in it when things get too hot and things don't work properly.
Yeah,
and that's still a very, very basic system. As in, I'm like, usually you've got to have quite catastrophic failure for everything to turn off to stop damage as well. And even then that's a little bit too much computer stuff for me. I mean, I had the four-wheel drive actuator and the four-wheel drive computer fail on me once, and it was literally that, because it wouldn't engage the presser button and the microchip in the four-wheel drive box wouldn't engage. So it was basically just a boring two-wheel drive vehicle at one point. And it was just a box about the size of an iPhone that was just, I had to swap in and out, and that was it.
Had a mate had that exact same issue over the holidays when the other mate put his radiator through, his fan to his radiator. And I forgot about that when you asked about damage report, because it was before we even started. He couldn't select four-wheel drive. He could get low, but he couldn't get four. So he had low rear-wheel drive, but no low four.
Yep, been there. Yep.
And simply because computer says no. Sorry, no, you're pushing the button and something along the line doesn't agree with what's going on, so you're out.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes it hard.
The cutoff is, and 1999 was the end of it. If you've got anything 2000 up, it's got computers in it that can just decide to lock you out whenever they want.
Yep.
There may be a couple of, I can't think of the word, something that don't count to that. You know, some
exceptions to the rule. Yeah.
Yeah, there may be some exceptions, and probably most of your 79 series cruisers are still very agricultural.
Even there, they're starting to get up there now. I mean, they're starting to come out with standard electric windows, these ones. Only now.
It's on those cup holders.
if you've got airbags and ABS and shit like that. Oh, dude, the new cars that I'm driving at work, you're trying to back up to put them in the car park, and we've got, like, you know, bushes just growing around the car park. But it senses the bushes and thinks you're going to back into something, and it puts the brake on for you. So you're looking backwards, like, yeah, back it up. And it just goes, boop, bangs the fucking brake on. And you're like, what the fuck? Have I just run into something, or what's going on? The car just stops for you. And then you try and accelerate and it won't let you because it thinks you're going to back into something.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. But on the other hand of that, you got all that safety features, which is hopefully going to save some lives. But we don't want that. We want off-road capability. We don't want our car to turn off where we're halfway up a 75-degree angle hill.
Yeah, and I think you need to learn to drive in an old shitty car that doesn't have ABS, maybe doesn't even have power steering, like the three of us probably would have. You learn to drive in a car that you actually have to drive. Whereas if you learn to drive in a car that drives for you, there's going to be that one day where you go out with a friend or something and they have too much to drink and you have to drive their car home. You're not going to be able to fucking operate it because it doesn't automatically park itself like the car that you're used to driving.
Yep.
I got three of, they're not on here, but they're three questions that my mate said that he was going to ask. One of them was, what's your thought on LED bush doof lights? So, like, you know, the LED whip interior. Whip aerials and, like, the party lights and stuff out the back of your car and stuff.
So that's – it goes both ways with me, because we need to have chase lights on the race car, which is a red and blue flashing light, which looks like fucking police sirens behind you. So I understand the need for them, but I think some people just take it a bit too far and have a few too many going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the old party lights. Each to their own as well, too. I don't think they'll ever end up on my cruiser, at least. It's pretty much straight down the line, that one. So we'll see how we go. I have a little one. We're about 3 minutes ago. Do we want to make another one? Go on, or do we want to wrap up, boys?
No, we'll wrap up. Let out, man.
That's all good. Andy, you want to sign yourself out?
So, sign off. Thanks for listening to the Off-Road On Air podcast with myself, Andrew, from All Access Off-Road. You can find us on any of your socials under All Access Off-Road. That's your Insta, your Facebook, your YouTube, and our TikTok.
Lovely. Marley, where can we find you?
G'day, guys. You can find me on Marley Grubby at TikTok, Instagram, and Marley Grubby 2 on Snapchat if you want to watch me do videos of me at work, see videos of me at work. Yeah, hopefully starting a YouTube channel soon, so I'll be getting that up and running. I'm only 2,000 followers off of that on when I hit 50,000 subs on TikTok, I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel, so I'm only 2,000 off of that, so get ready for that. It's going to be good.
So next month.
Hopefully by next month. Yeah, that'll be nice. How about you, Tom? Where can we find you?
Well, I've changed up a few things as well too. So I am Thomas Freeman everywhere, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. You can still dual find me on Facebook and Instagram under Food Wheel Driving. I've just done a little bit of a name change on those. So Thomas Freeman on everything. And obviously we've got the a few other things as well too. I'm starting to get involved with a few four-wheel drive groups as well too down here, Signature and Wevolve. I'm showing up a little bit there. They're really fun to go along with. I love the admins on those as well too. I'm starting to even organize group trips for one of the groups as well too that I'm going to be convoy leader on probably. So that's going to be really nice and excited. We're going to go explore the high country. And that's about it for us on the Off-Road On Air podcast. Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks very much. This was awesome. So we're definitely going to be able to post a part one and a part two on this one. So cheers.
Cheers, boys. Awesome.
See you guys.
Catch up with you soon.
That's it. See you next one. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.